Coming to you from the island of Hawaii, it's the Big Island Beat Podcast. And now, here's your host, Steve Roby.
Aloha, I'm Steve Roby, and welcome to a special edition of the Big Island Beat Podcast. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with Russell Ruderman, Michael Supernaut, and Sarah Bethany, who were all part of a special Grateful Dead tribute show at the Hilo Palace Theater. The event marked the first concert the Palace Theater has had since it was shut down in March of 2020. In the interviews, you'll hear the band members talk about how the event came together and side details of what went on. Hope you enjoy it. Here's Russell Ruderman.
Aloha, Russell.
Aloha, Steve. Thanks for being here.
It's been a while.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So tell me how, let's start with how this concert came together. And it's a Grateful Dead tribute concert, and the band is Terrapin Station?
The band is Terrapin Station. I'd call us a cover band, I think, more than a tribute band. We don't try to act like the members. We just play the music, you know. How did it come about? Well, you know, like most musicians, we haven't played live for a year, and I was trying to think of a way we could kind of come back to some live music a little bit earlier by doing something like I knew the Palace was open up in a limited capacity, and I thought, you know, we can't if we could use the opportunity to make a film, which a lot of people have been doing at the Palace here, then that's like it's like a double reason to do it. You know, let's do it. We can let some people in, have some live audience, and also do this sort of record of the band we've always wished we had.
Right. So it's kind of a historic night, if you will. Technically, large venues are not open, but there's exceptions given out.
There are exceptions, and it's not exactly exceptions. There's rules they have to abide by, and you have to get your plan approved by civil defense, and So the Palace Theater has done that. They've had a series of movie nights here.
Oh, with the public.
Yeah. With a semi, people can come, and so they're allowed to seat people. They have every other row closed off, and groups are not seated together, so there's two empty seats. So family groups are 6 feet apart, and they're allowed to have 120 people total, rather than the 500 seats. So it's limited. It's COVID limitations.
But this would be the first music.
This would be the music event here.
In-house public attending.
Here at least, yeah. And I haven't heard of anywhere else. Yeah, that's right. Because the other ones have been video. So this will be legal and safe with some public attendance. And, they're going to require masks as you enter and when you walk around. But once you're seated with your family group, it's like a restaurant. You can take the mask off.
So it looks like you've extended the stage and people are encouraged to dance in their seats?
I honestly don't know yet, Steve, what the Palace's theater is going to be about people getting up and dancing in that little dance floor, such as it is. I don't think there's anything going to be enforcing too much. I imagine people will dance in the seats and in the aisles and in the little nooks and crannies, not so much an actual mosh pit,
kind of thing. But. Well, tell me about the history of Terrapin Station. Okay. When it started, how you got involved, and...
Well, it's funny because when we started thinking about this band, we realized it was almost exactly 10 years since we started. I hadn't really thought about that. And one of the trivia questions we were giving away tickets with was, when did the band's first concert? And I had to look it up and realized, oh my God, it's almost exactly 10 years ago.
Really?
It was on New Year's Eve of 2010 to 2011. Almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
Almost exactly. Well, it started, like a bunch of other people. I consider myself a deadhead. I enjoyed the Dead. They were my favorite band, what can I say? And of course Garcia died quite a few years ago. And for about 10 years there, it kind of seemed like, okay, the Grateful Dead's music is a thing of the past, It's a relic, it's a memory, And it's like, okay, well, that's what it is. And then, I was on the mainland for a convention, actually, a natural foods convention, and we were in L.A. at this giant Marriott convention center thing, and the band they had turned out to be a Dead cover band.
Really?
And like, boy, did people respond. I mean, like, people just loved it. It's like, of course, my generation and stuff, And suddenly I thought, oh, this music is still alive, if you want it to
be.
And then I came back to the Big Island with that thought of, like, well, we can keep it alive here. I mean, it's not just you know, being sentimental or nostalgic. It's also music that's alive, if you make it alive. And it's like, you know, there's a certain interest in the Grateful Dead's music that's way beyond whatever it was when they were here. I mean, it's exploded, the whole jam band idea.
Right, of course, yeah.
Dozens of cover bands and offshoot bands and similarly inspired bands. So it's really a whole genre in a way. Mm-hmm. So I just find, now we're not trying to be famous. We're not trying to, you know, we never made a record because we're just covering someone else's songs, right? But when we play, we have a lot of fun, and it's an opportunity for a lot of people to come together who love getting together and dancing live to music. That's what it was always all about for most of us. Gives a chance for people to do that in the present day here on the Big Island, and we've had a lot of fun doing that.
Well, more power to it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you must have a Grateful Dead story. How many shows have you seen? Which one stands out?
I got a few stories. I mean, I don't know. You know, I estimate I've seen about 200. I never was in the process of counting them. I saw them from about 69 to.
Did you follow them on the road?
I did not follow them on the road. Instead of following them on the road, I moved to San Francisco.
Okay.
And so then I just saw all the Bay Area shows. I lived there for about 10 years. I lived in the Bay Area from about 75 to 85.
All right.
And during that time, I saw, you know, every show within a couple hundred miles, Sacramento, whatever it did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was plenty. And I never, you know, when I lived on the East Coast, we would travel to the occasional show. But I was never one of those people
who put
my life on hold and went on tour. I never quite did that.
Okay.
And there's different ways that people like the Grateful Dead. I had my own way. I was
most favorite show? if there was one.
Well, two historically stick in my mind. One was the closing of Winterland. It was a New Year's Eve show. Mm. I think it was 79 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was great because they played, you know, the Blues Brothers warmed up for them and new writers, and they went like literally almost all night.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the night, Bill Graham came on stage and said, "Take your time, stay as long as you want. We got coffee and donuts instead of get out." Yeah. So it was just this wonderful feeling.
Wow.
And I actually saw them for the first time at Woodstock, so historically that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really a Dead concert for me because I did not understand their music at that moment.
Mm.
And I didn't become exposed to them at all for another couple of years until I realized who they were. Wow. At that moment, it was just some band playing weird music in the rain at night. It's like, yeah, well, this is interesting. But I couldn't wait for Creedence Clearwater to come on next, you know. Those are two of the ones that I would mention. I
guess. Let's circle back to Terrapin Station.
Okay.
And the members in it. Tonight versus the beginning? Are there still some original members?
Oh, yeah. Well, myself and our bass player, Diana Webb, is our original members. Steve Bradshaw, our main singer, came along very shortly after that. So the three of us have been together about 10 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was about two or three years after we started that we were looking for a drummer, and we found Michael Supernaut to join us.
Good choice.
Later, yeah, great. I mean, and this is to me an interesting aspect of this is that there's people in this band who aren't Deadheads. You know, they were attracted to the music for some reason of their own, and you might want to ask Michael why, because he's a very educated and accomplished musician. You know, and is not a Deadhead, not in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
You know? But he saw something in the music that he enjoyed spending so much time doing and really invested, you know, he's really put a lot of himself into it. And I find that intriguing, you know, that people would come to and see this whole world of, you know, it's a type of music that it allows a lot of creative, you know, interplay during the moments that we play. And that's very attractive to them.
So
three of the members have never seen the Dead, I think. I think that Diana and Sarah are too young to have ever seen the Dead.
Right.
Michael probably never came.
Right.
Yeah,
so beyond tonight, there'll be a recorded video, audio opportunity for fans who couldn't attend tonight's show for some reason. So...
That's right.
Deadhead fans locally and globally.
Well, we would like to have live streamed it, but that wasn't quite in the cards. But we'll release probably two videos. One's a maybe 5 or 6 song highlight reel, and maybe also the whole concert. And we'll share it for people online. And hopefully, you know, within the Deadhead universe, we'll become, you know, a little bit noticed. We don't have any great promotional goal, but it's something for us to keep and as well as to show to people. And it's like, you know, for all of us in the band, I think we each bring something to it. And I think the band is a certain bit of a highlight for each of us in some ways. There's moments when we get to just do something you don't get to do in other bands, and we like that. Yeah. Just like the Grateful Dead, we strive for a little magic at points here and there. Sometimes you fall flat on your face, and then sometimes maybe you'll come up with a gem, you know? So we do that, and it's very exciting. I mean, a lot of music is, we're going to play this song, we're going to play it like this, we're going to perform it well, poof. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have any of that open, you know, open-ended. And so we have a lot of that. We try to build a lot of that. Okay, we'll see where this goes, you know, kind of thing, little moments in our sets. And I think that each of the musicians in their own way enjoys that aspect of it.
I know.
This is Steve Ruby with Big Island Music Magazine, and we're backstage at the Hilo Palace Theater for an historic night in music history for the Big Island. This is a Grateful Dead cover band, Terrapin Station, doing a three-hour concert during a mid-transition period of coming out of COVID-19 and the pandemic. Across from me are Michael Supernaut and his lovely wife, Sarah Bethany. Aloha.
Aloha, Steven.
Aloha.
All right. It's been a while since we've seen each other face to face. I know we did a podcast, but
yeah,
it's been a long time.
Yes, it
has. Well, let's start out with how this event came together. What can you tell me about the event, and how was it difficult to put on a show like a music event show like this during these times?
Well, I think we've all been feeling the sort of the special nature of this band. Like, we all just really have such a love for each other. We love playing. We love the music. We love our fans. Our fans make us feel so appreciated. So we've been talking about how to get a recording of this band, a video and audio recording of this band, for literally 3 years or more.
Really?
And we've thrown a lot of different options out there, and somehow none of it quite seemed right. And I think the catalyst for this, believe it or not, was that after Russell retired as a state senator, the palace asked him to join the board.
Oh.
And they said, you know, one of the things that would really support the theater is starting to have some concerts with limited seating, you know, following all of the pandemic regulations. So Russell came to me and said, what do you think about doing it at the palace? And I was like, oh man, that would be great. We control the lighting, get Pepe on sound.
Yeah.
And so that was really that was sort of the seed that had it be here. And since we haven't played in just over a year, we played, I think, in February, just before the shutdown.
Wow.
And so it just seemed like, you know, a really good time. And we all have the time. We've been able to practice and have, you know, do our rehearsals and practice on our own and stuff like that. So it's been coming together. And then Russell came to me and just said, Michael, I just want you to produce it. You just do it the way you want to do it. Mm. And I said, okay, well, how does, you know, seven cameras and a full 24 channel, you know, multi-track recording sound? He's like, okay, let's do it.
I'll jump back into what the plans are for the video and audio, I guess, toward the end of the interview. But first, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Terrapin Station and what your interest is in the Grateful Dead.
Okay, well, Russell knew Dan from
Leche de Tigre. And of course, they're more of a West Side, most of the time, they're a little bit more West Side bass band. And Russell said, hey, do you know any drummers on the East Side? Now, Russell and I knew each other because of Island Naturals, and I had been going there for years, but he didn't really know me other than just, hey, Russell, in the store. And he was just like, Dan said, if you're on the East Side and you want a drummer, you should try Michael, see if you can get Michael in the band. So I didn't really know much about Grateful Dead music when he called, but I love all music, really. I mean, it's not like I had any objection to the Grateful Dead, but I definitely did not know. I knew maybe four or five of their songs, tops. And the band had about 110 song repertoire.
Plus Garcia stuff.
So anyway, you know, at that time, I couldn't really afford to just be in a band just for fun. And Russell, being the extraordinarily generous person that he is, said, oh, I don't mind supporting a local artist. I'll be willing to pay you to be in the band. And I started rehearsing every week. Now, this is, to me, the most interesting part for me as a person who's been in, I have no idea how many bands throughout my career, but a lot of bands. Mm-hmm. One of the band didn't want me to listen to any of these songs to learn the way the Dead played them. They just wanted me, they felt like it was in the spirit of the Grateful Dead, the spirit of a jam band, to just come to rehearsals, which we rehearsed every week back then, and just listen to them play these songs and find myself in those songs as a drummer.
Add your own footprint, if you
will. Add my own footprint. So if, believe it or not, out of the whatever we're playing tonight, 40 songs we're playing tonight, at least 30 of them, to this day, have never heard the Grateful Dead play them.
Wow. So it's not going to sound like the record.
It's probably not going to sound like the record.
Or the band. Yeah. Well, what about you, Sarah? How did you, what's your take on all this?
Well, I came into the band several years after Michael did. I think it was probably around 2013 when I joined, and I came in by way of Michael because he felt like having some keys and some more vocals would be a really great thing for the band. So I said, okay, well, I'd love to try it, at least. Mm-hmm. I don't know any Grateful Dead songs as far as how to play them on the piano or the organ. I'd heard the Grateful Dead throughout most of my teenage and
20s, kind of
thing. And from my artsy friends, my hippie friends in college. So spent a lot of time just listening
to filters in,
all kinds of the underground stuff even. I was just always playing in the background because my roommates, where I went to college, they were deadheads.
They were serious deadheads, huh?
Yeah, they were
deadheads. They saw the band and everything. Okay.
Went on tour, followed them all around. So it was like in my sphere, but I never actually got to go to any of their shows. Mm. I wish I could have done that, though.
So the group has been together, the Terrapin Station has been together for 10 years now, and you guys came in when?
I believe their first show was New Year's Eve of 2010, like the day before 2011. And I think I came in a year and a half later.
Oh, so early on.
Yeah. Early on, yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. Their first gig was with a drummer well-known around here named Bo Wade, who doesn't live on the island anymore. But he told him he was only going to do that one gig, and he did. And then Brother Will passed away a couple of years ago, but he came in and was the band's drummer. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not sure why he stopped playing with the band, but that when he stopped, that was when I came in. So I think it was like a year and a half after the band started, and I've been in the band since then. So about 9 years. And and then Sarah came in one or 2 years later.
Yeah. It was one of the first bands I've ever played with. So I at that time, did not have very much experience playing with a group. Mm-hmm. I was only in one other band before that, and previously just a soloist for most of my life.
Do you want to say anything about the besides Russell Ruthman, you've got a guitar player and a bass player? Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah, well, Diana, I'm pretty sure Diana Webb plays the bass, and I'm pretty sure she's been in from day one. The fun part for me is that Diana has grown as a musician with the band, and of course she plays in a lot of bands. Like, there's pretty much no musicians on this island that don't know who she is, but she's really come a long way as a musician on her own, and I think she's really really had a great impact on the band as the band has gotten better, and And we've kind of all started paying better attention to how the songs go. And so Diana's been great, always had have a lot of fun playing with her. And then Steven is sort of our Jerry, you know. He's definitely a full-blown deadhead. He knows the music inside and out. But his voice, for me, is very Jerry-ish. You know, he's the one that does a lot of the Jerry songs. Mm-hmm. And he has such a humble way about him, which is certainly how I think of Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
And and Steven, you know, he's just... He loves us. He loves the fans. He loves the music. You know, I think the interesting thing about this band also is there's no leader of this band.
Yeah.
There's no lead singer and there's no music director. There's no person in charge. Russell has always been just super open and flexible, and nobody else wants to be any of those positions.
No egos.
Yeah, it's really, we've all just wanted to see how to make the best music, and no one's really cared how we got there.
Great. Have you, before tonight's show, have you gotten any feedback from local Deadhead fans of that they're excited to come to this?
Overwhelming.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, Russell and I never set out with very big expectations, but you know, the show sold out very quickly, and we've had people just posting crying emojis on Facebook that we couldn't let anybody else in. We've been getting a lot of those, which of course we're sad that we can't let them in. We've had hundreds of people really, really support our band on this little island for many years. People just wherever we're playing, they come. And we've always just really appreciated that. Because let's face it, if nobody comes, then you're not going to play any gigs, right?
I mean, yeah.
So it's, we're really sorry that not everybody that wanted to come got to come, but it's a sold out event.
Yeah,
and
it's the time, part of the time.
Yeah, yeah, part of the times.
So what are the plans with the video? And are you going to put the audio out separate? How are you going to reach people with the final production?
Okay, well, the first step will certainly be to share the audio. I'll do a rough mix of the audio of just the whole show and send it to the band. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we'll start with is just audio-wise, is there anything that people just aren't comfortable releasing? You know, so that'll be the first thing, is sort of working through the show and seeing, finding what is the actual best of the show. And we're okay if we end up with only 6 songs. We're okay if we end up with all the songs. We don't really have a goal. Yeah. Except to just represent the music the best that we can.
Right.
So that'll be the first step. Once we have that identified, I definitely want to do sort of a concert film, like, and not just a videotape cut through the of us performing, but we have a lot of other B-roll. Another videographer, Christopher Roberts, was here yesterday when we were setting up, and today miking people and getting a lot of backstory. I shot a bunch of footage at our rehearsals, and I would like to be able to intersperse some of the behind the scenes stuff and how we came to be how we are right now.
Do you plan to enter that, say, in the Hawaii Film Festival type of thing? Any long term plans with that?
That sounds like a good idea. I probably wouldn't think of that.
I know Zoe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we know Zoe and Phillips, and
do something here at the palace.
yeah, she's got a small role.
Yeah. Her husband.
Yeah.
Phillips. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's a good idea. That would be a good thing to submit. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see a clip or two on local TV or something that. I mean, it's a historic. To me, it's an historic event because we're starting to come out of COVID, and I think this might be the first indoor. Public music performance, the Kahilu Theater is just doing live streaming only, the Aloha Theater the same way, People's Theater in Honoka'a is still shut down, the clubs and the venues are pretty much almost 100% back, but as far as a concert attendance in an indoor venue, I think this is the first.
Wow.
I think so too.
Okay, I'm not sure I was aware of that, but yeah, that's pretty significant. Yeah.
And for Russell or whoever was involved to make that happen, I think it's a big deal. I mean, I was looking at the website, and I didn't get as far as, you know, there's a rabbit hole to get in there. But it looks like there's a way to get an exception or something like that. That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I don't think so. We just...
This is an opportunity to plug anything coming up as far as solo projects, together projects.
Ah, okay. Well,
I heard you had a recording studio or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. I do have a recording studio.
Oh, yeah.
And I do a lot of video production, monomusicandmedia.com. Sarah has some amazing original music that's being released soon.
Album-wise?
Not an album yet. We'll be just releasing singles for a few months. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a full-length album at some point.
This year or
something? Probably looking at by 2022.
You mean the album?
The album.
Okay, yeah. But we have some singles coming out soon.
Yeah, singles are going to be coming out sometime in the next couple months.
All right.
Yep, they're getting close.
Rolling out.
Yeah, so that's the most exciting thing we've got going on.
Once a month or something. I kind of have to make a little bit of a plan still.
Okay, but we'll keep you posted.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you so much for your time, and have a great show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Big Island Beat Podcast. For more info, go to bigislandmusic.net and follow us on Facebook. Be sure to join us next week for another fun episode. Aloha.